Good morning. It is Thursday. Jeez, what is the date today?
16th.
February 16th. It's 10:04. This is a regular scheduled meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commissioner. I'm Randy Christman, chairman of the commission. Along with me is Commissioner Julie Fedorchek. And not a lot of opening comments from me this morning. I will say I think the whole agency has been watching very closely and working very hard on our budgeting. And as with every agency in state government, it's a big deal. There just isn't the money to go around, and there's going to be significant changes. We're not even at the halfway point, but I do want to really commend our staff around here. We've already made some changes leading up to it. Everyone knows there's more on the way. I'm kind of always amazed every day at the cheerfulness and helpfulness of our staff and keeping things going and recognizing that this is a hard time. And I just can't express enough my appreciation for them. So bottom line is somehow or another, as things progress in March, we'll get a revenue forecast. Definitely no more then. And then work the budget through the rest of the way and then see what needs to happen. It's not like we're holding something back. We, at this point, just don't know all the answers. And the only other thing I will say is, it being a commission day, I've been kind of waiting for this day. You mentioned that's a little lonely up here with one commissioner missing, but I'm trying to keep his legacy alive by throwing on my bison tie today. So, Commissioner Fedorchek.
Thank you, Randy. I agree. It's good to keep Ryan's legacy. I was on a meeting yesterday afternoon over at the health department, and we were talking about pipeline and pipeline safety and some efforts to try to build more collaboration between the agencies and improve the safety and work with industry to try to really narrow down the gaps that are causing some of these spills. And on the opposite end of the phone, on behalf of the EERC, was none other than Brian Kulk. So he's not far. Yes. Anyway, I also appreciate the staff's attitude right now in this time. It is a challenging time. We're in sort of the limbo land time of our budgeting process, and with so many questions out there about what the funding levels will be and what our final FTE count will be. It's tough. It's a hard time. And I think people have a really good attitude about it and are just recognizing that we're just going to have to do our best with what we get, and we will, and we will find a way to do our work and do it effectively and have fun doing it. And so that's the end game. But right now it requires a lot of patience. And so I also want to thank you, Randy, for your leadership in spearheading the budget through and getting it through the House side. We're halfway there. And we're still standing, so we can live with what we've got. We hope to improve on it, and I think we will. So thank you for that. I wanted to just make one comment in the opening comment sections on a bill that's going to be up for a vote today in the House. It's House Bill 1398, and this is a bill that is another effort on the whole natural gas to rural areas initiative that I've been interested in the last 4 years on the commission and have worked with various different groups of folks to try to understand the issue, figure out why, what are the barriers to serving communities in North Dakota that are unserved, that do not have natural gas service and are therefore not as competitive as a position as those who do have natural gas when it comes to economic development. And we have worked through the interim and got a group together on a bill that is modeled after Minnesota policy that allows communities to work directly with a natural gas provider, and if they can come to a term with that provider on a way to serve the community that might be more unconventional than what we would consider and contemplate under the traditional regulatory oversight of the PSC, they can actually ask for a waiver from the commission's oversight and work directly with that public utility and provide the regulatory oversight as the community. So it's worked well in Minnesota. I've talked with the commissioners there. Staff have talked with the commissioners there. We had lots of give and take with the utility industry to kind of come up with this legislation, and it's coming up for a vote in the House today. The committee, I feel has voted 14-0 do not pass, but I don't feel that they really understood the bill and what was intended, because there was some comments made by the chair of the committee after they voted it out that the PSC already has the ability to do this, and that is most definitely not the case. We do need this legislation to allow the communities to have the ability to have some flexibility to enter into somewhat more innovative service arrangements with a utility, and then they would be providing the oversight of that utility for costs and service like we do on a broader scale in the public utilities serving on a regional basis. So that's the intent of House Bill 1398. It's probably tough sledding at this point based on the committee vote, but if it doesn't pass today, it's something that we'll be looking at resurrecting, I think, in the next session and taking another attempt at it and trying to do some more education in advance so that this type of a concept can have a fair hearing, because I do think it's about stimulating more competition in some of the communities and more innovation to try to get at this ongoing challenge of providing natural gas service in rural communities that are struggling to get it because they're a long way from a main pipeline to receive that service. So just wanted to make a couple comments on that behalf. And that's it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. We'll move into the consent portion of the meeting. We have four items on the consent calendar. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion approved.
Okay. I have two portfolio items this morning in the regular agenda. RC1, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-16-674, granting the request of Atlantic Farm Services Incorporated of Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada, to operate as a roving grain buyer in North Dakota.
Second.
Atlantic Farm Services filed an application to operate and projects it will purchase up to 500,000 bushels of grain annually in North Dakota. They filed a $250,000 surety bond. Atlantic mistakenly notified us that they had transacted business as a roving grain buyer, but they do not owe any money on any grain purchases. They're taking over an existing company, and that is the business that they had mistakenly reported to us. So just for the record, that's there, but this company really has not. They will purchase corn from the licensed grain companies in North Dakota for use in Canada. So statutory compliance has been met, and staff recommends that a roving grain buyer license be issued.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion approved.
And RC2, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Mid-Continent Communications designated eligible carrier application case number PU-17-50.
Second.
On January 30th, Mid-Continent filed an application to expand its service area by adding the Cooperstown, North Dakota Exchange. Mid-Continent is a South Dakota business partnership with offices located in North Dakota. The issues to be considered in this matter are three. First of all, is the applicant qualified under the Telecommunications Act of 1996 for designation as an eligible telecommunications carrier? Second, what additional universal service support area should be designated? And third, is designation of the area in the additional area in the public interest? So those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request, and the comments or requests for hearing must be received by March 28th. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine this matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio.
Excellent. Okay, well, the first item on my agenda list is not a motion. It's just a report. And so it is time, once again, drum roll, please, for the annual consumer contacts report from the commission. So we reinstated the consumer affairs portfolio a few years ago, and since then, Stacy has been dutifully tracking all the comments and interaction that we have with the public, because we want to make sure that we are spotting any trends that might exist out there in terms of our regulated companies, and also just keep tabs on how well we're doing at reaching out to the public and how much we're hearing back from them. And so we have a news release that's going out today, so it's summarizing the last year. And it was a busy year. We had 608 consumer contacts in 2016. And of those, 133 were complaints against companies that we regulate. The complaints for the three regulated utilities were all slightly lower compared to 2015. In 2015, we had 182 complaints against the total against the public utilities, and this time we had 133. And also in the area of telecom, CenturyLink dropped from 89 complaints in 2015 to 60 in 2016, which is a significant drop. And then it does also recognize that we did file a formal complaint against CenturyLink for quality of service. We filed that in 2015 and settled that in 2016. And since then, CenturyLink has agreed to invest significantly in the infrastructure in the areas in Western North Dakota to improve customer service in that area. And I will say it's because of our careful tracking of the consumer complaints and the trends that we were able to identify the fact that there was an increase in the complaints against CenturyLink, and really forced us to dig into that more and pay attention to those. And so I think it is because of Stacy's good work in tracking these and us keeping an eye on what the trends are that we're able to spot those and when necessary take action to address them. And that resulted in, I think, some good outcomes for the consumers in that area. In addition to the complaints to against the regulated utilities, we also received public input on a lot of our projects and siting areas. We received 173 contacts recorded in 2016, and those related to cases that we are considered. That compares to 148 in 2015 and only 36 in 2014. So significant increase in the amount of public contact we're having and public input that we're receiving. Of those 173 public input contacts, 105 of them were related to Dakota Access Pipeline. And really 62 of those comments were received before the permit was issued in 2015, and a bulk of those comments in 2016 were after we already had issued our opinion and our order. So we prefer to get the contact in advance of our orders and work hard to do that. In this case, we got a lot after the fact, but we still track them and do our best to answer those questions and concerns. So that kind of summarizes, I think, the high points of this this report. We received of the a total in the public utility area, 127 contacts in all, and those also include input that we received for some wind farms. We saw a fair amount of input on a couple of the larger wind farm projects, Brady Wind and Glacier Ridge, and then a lot in the pipelines. And a few in weights and measures, 11 folks contacted us. That's an area where people, if they see a scale that they think is off or have questions about something, a lot of it related to gas tanks and gas service providers, we receive those and follow up on them as well. So thank you, Stacy, for putting together this good report, for tracking this, and thank you to the public for taking the time to reach out to us and keep in touch with us and help us know how we can better serve you and provide the information that you need.
Just add a couple things to that. First of all, one of the things you pointed out was the weights and measures. And, you know, it's a three-year window, but it's interesting how that one has remained consistent. You know, mm-hmm. with pipelines, we had Dakota Access, so there was an explosion kind of in, mm-hmm. in contacts there. But weights and measures, it, you know, is kind of in that one a month. And I don't know if it's seasonal, but what, 10 or 12 a year, it seems like every year. And so that seems to go along pretty well. The other thing, and Governor Burgum has made kind of an issue and has talked a lot about the value of data collection. And once again, and I just have such great pride in the work of the team of the Public Service Commission, once again, we're kind of ahead of that curve. Mm-hmm. We started several years ago with this, and as you pointed out, the Quest one, but I think others as well, where the fact that we started on this and the great work Stacy has done, but then it also expands to everybody else here, depending on what area a contact comes in about, putting together the data so we can notice those things and take action. So I think we have been kind of ahead of the game there and just should be a point of pride for the entire agency.
I agree, and most importantly, not only do we collect the data, but we analyze it and use it. And I think that's where sometimes data collection falls short, is you get all this great data, but nobody looks at it or really puts it to use for your benefit. And I think that's the important thing about it and something we're staying focused on.
And that's the area where you deserve a lot of credit, because it's easy to, on any given day, not give too much thought to our consumer contact numbers for the last year. And
well,
put
Stacey
it aside for
task.
More urgent things. But you've done a good job.
Thank you. Okay, so that's the first item. Next up, there's really, let's see here, JF 2, 3, 4, 5 are all related to NSP. Natural gas annual reports. And so I wanted to kind of take those all together. I'll go through each one separately, but I'll probably talk about all of them at one time, and we have to vote on each one separately, understand. So I move the commission close NSP Company 2012 Natural Gas Annual Report, case number PU-13-208.
Second.
So the reason why, normally these are on consent, and I've asked the staff to move them over to the regular agenda from here on out, as long as I'm working on this portfolio, just because the annual reports are really an important function that we do every year, analyzing the annual reports, because that's where we can track how the companies are earning. And it's one of our ways to oversee the companies and see, you know, how are they doing financially? Are they strong? Are they earning too much? Are they earning too little? And it's just an important touchstone for us as regulators. And I also think it's important to mention that to the public in the regular agenda meeting as well, so that the public knows, A, that we're doing this, that we're keeping an eye on this, and that if a company is over-earning or under-earning, that we're keeping an eye on that as well and can take action if necessary. So this, we got a little bit behind in some of these natural gas reports, but this brings us up to date, and a staff is committed to staying up to date and getting through the annual reports within probably 6 weeks of them being filed with us and getting having an analysis for us to review moving forward. So this one is on 2012. We'll go through each one, but in general, I'll just talk about all of them together. The company had slightly over-earned for three of those 4 years and then under-earned in 2015. So there isn't anything that the staff is recommending in terms of action to take. But over the years 2012 to 2014, the company over-earned 2012, 13, and 14 by about $2 million cumulatively, and then under-earned in 2015. And so nothing real alarming there. There's natural fluctuations that occur because of usage and weather, and that results in some of the changes in how much money the company takes in and earns. And we realize that's part of the natural way the business works. And so there's no action advised in this, but just wanted to make note the fact that we've looked at it and are okay with it.
I'm guessing that natural gas would have more of those kinds of fluctuations probably even than electricity because of weather related. And so but it is important to keep track of it that it doesn't just permanently always be over-earning or under-earning either. Seems like a good thing to have brought forward to the regular agenda, I think. Thank you.
Thank you, Randy.
All right, we have a motion. Do you want to do each one of these separately,
Commissioner? We have to do each
one.
We do,
yeah.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
Already did that. So just call for the vote.
Oh, call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Okay, I move the commission close NSP Company 2013 Natural Gas Annual Report, case number PU-14-404.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Since you're none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I move the commission close NSP 2014 Natural Gas Annual Report, case number PU-14-747.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And finally, I move the commission close NSP Company 2015 Natural Gas Annual Report, case number PU-16-195.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion?
This is the one where they actually under-earned, correct?
Correct. This is the one where they under-earned. And I did note that it's been since 2006 that NSP gas has had a rate increase or come to us for a rate increase. And so the gas business is more stable than electric business. They aren't investing in new generation facilities, so there just isn't as many triggers for investments and for rate cases. So they've been pretty consistent over the last 10 years, and I guess we have no indication that they're be coming in anytime soon for a rate increase.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. That brings us to JF6. I move the commission adopt the order in Public Service Commission Great Plains Natural Gas Company Pipeline Safety Enforcement, case number GS-17-14.
Second.
This is an enforcement action on pipeline safety and not a one call. This is a pipeline safety enforcement, so this is not something that we see a lot of, but it is really important work that our staff is doing on behalf of PHMSA. So on January 4th, 2017, the manager of Public Service Commission Gas Pipeline Safety Program issued a notice of probable violation to Great Plains Natural Gas Company, alleging one violation of natural gas pipeline safety regulations, Code of Federal Regulations, Title 49, Part 192, and proposing a $2,500 civil penalty. Great Plains committed one violation of 49 CFR 192, Section 706, by failing to conduct leakage surveys of its Hankinson to Fairmont transmission pipeline at intervals not exceeding 15 months. So they're supposed to survey this no later than every 15 months, and that's where they had failed to do that within that time frame. On January 31st, 2017, Great Plains submitted a payment of $2,500. By paying the full amount of the civil penalty proposed, Great Plains has admitted the violation as alleged in the NOPV. By paying the proposed civil penalty, Great Plains has waived all rights to further response to the NOPV and to appeal this order. So this basically says the Great Plains committed this one violation, has remitted payment of $2,500 to satisfy the civil penalty.
Here we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
The one thing I just want to, one additional comment I want to make about this, it's not something we see a lot of, but this is the important work that our gas distribution pipeline safety program is doing and performing on behalf of PHMSA for the state of North Dakota and for customers here. They go out and work with the natural gas providers to make sure that all the distribution facilities leading up to people's homes and everything behind it are in line with the regulations required by the federal government. This system works without fail almost 100% of the time, and it's something that exists in the background in all of our lives that we rarely think about. least of all when we're taking a hot shower in the morning made available by that natural gas service to your house. But when something does go wrong, it's almost extremely fatal in these types of problems because it's a natural gas product and it's very explosive. And so this work, we've got great companies. They are very diligent, and we've got this third-party oversight that's really an important piece of making sure that the system is functioning as safely as possible to avoid any potential significant problems in our communities served by natural gas. And so good kudos to our inspectors who are out there and working with the companies and holding them to the high standards that need to be held to in North Dakota to keep it safe.
Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion approved.
Thank you, Darrell. I move the commission deem complete the applications for corridor and route adjustments and a waiver of procedures and time schedules and issue a notice of filings and notice of opportunity for hearing in NuStar Pipeline Operating Partnership LP Mapleton Terminal Cass County Siting Application Case Number PU-17-51.
Second.
On February 24th of 2016, the Commission issued a certificate, a corridor certificate and route permit to NuStar Pipeline Operating Partnership LP, authorizing construction of approximately 7.3 miles of 8-inch refined petroleum products pipeline and associated facilities in Cass County. On January 30th of 2017, NuStar filed an application requesting that the previously designated route and corridor be adjusted to include a terminal with storage tanks, pumps, and associated facilities in Section 4 of Mapleton Township, Cass County, North Dakota. Also on January 30th of 2017, they filed an application for waivers of procedures and time schedules requiring separate filings, notices, and separate hearings on such applications. So this is a notice of filings and notice for opportunity for hearing. It gives us the opportunity to have this, to move forward with this without a formal hearing. We did have a formal hearing in the community in advance of issuing the first corridor certificate and route permit. And so this is just an adjustment to that in an area because they changed the location of some of their storage tanks and pumps. Those interested are invited to comment in writing, and we need to receive those comments or request for hearing by March 27th of 2017.
Here we have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion?
My understanding of this is that previously approved project really traverses the same area. It's a proposal would change the tank farm from being on one end of it to being not in the middle exactly either, but not right at that end anymore along the same route, though.
That's my understanding as well.
It just has to expand that corridor a little bit to make room for the new tank farm.
Correct. Yep, that's my understanding. They had some trouble with the local permitting on the original proposed site, so they're looking at moving it down to this area instead, and I believe they have the local permits for that already. I think I read that in the application, so yeah. That issue shouldn't occur again.
Is there any further discussion? Since not all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission Buckhorn Energy Services LLC Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number PU-14-826.
Second.
On November 20th of 2014, the commission received a North Dakota One Call complaint from Agri Industries Incorporated. In its complaint, Agri Industries alleged a violation by Buckhorn Energy Services, LLC of North Dakota, for failure to participate in the one-call excavation notice system. What happened was Agri Industries was performing an excavation, and they noticed some infrastructure that hadn't been identified. Buckhorn was not identified on the one-call notification report in the area, but it was determined that it was their infrastructure that was found in this by Agri Industries to their credit without striking it during their excavation. So it was later determined that Buckhorn had not updated their information, the one call system, in a timely manner. AGRA was concerned that Buckhorn was not using the one call system at all in violation of the Sentry Code. And so there was a letter was sent to Buckhorn. They did not respond. And so advocacy filed a formal complaint on March 22nd of last year, 2016. And then in April, they filed a response requesting that the complaint be dismissed. Buckhorn and advocacy staff engaged in good faith settlement discussions. And on February 8th, advocacy staff and Buckhorn filed a consent agreement intended to resolve the case. Under the consent agreement, Buckhorn agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $6,500 and have all of its facilities registered within 30 days of commission approval of this order. So this is a matter that, again, another twist on the whole one-call issue. This time an adept excavator was out there noticing this infrastructure and noticed it hadn't been included in the one-call system. The infrastructure is a saltwater gathering system, so it's not a minor amount of infrastructure, nor does it have a small problem if you were accidentally to strike it. And so it's really important that this was found, that Buckhorn was made aware of the requirements under North Dakota law and is brought up to now compliance so that their saltwater gathering system is part of the one-call system and can be identified ahead of any excavations in the future. And again, the one-call system, so many pieces to it, so many parties that need to be on top of what the requirements are and diligent about following them so that we can protect this underground infrastructure and minimize any environmental damage that might result from accidentally striking it.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion?
The new twists to this damage prevention enforcement never seem to cease, but I guess just as facility owners are entitled to protection of their facilities under the law, they're also responsible for making sure that they're locatable. So,
absolutely, and
agree with this one.
And all types of the facilities, you know, the saltwater systems, we all know the problems of a saltwater strike and how difficult a leak and how difficult it is to clean them up. So it's really pleased that this is something that came to light and was tackled before there was a serious problem.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And that completes my portfolio,
okay,
Mr. Chairman.
That concludes our regular agenda then. We'll stand in recess for some questions from the press. I think today we'll take them in the order of seniority.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you.
Before you start, Dave, I have to say I knew something was amok with you when you weren't here on our commission meeting 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and it was noticeable. And there is some... It wasn't that I thought there wasn't anything interesting going on, because you tend to show up even when there isn't anything interesting going on, and there was interesting stuff going on that day. So we're so glad that you are back in good health, and I'm sure it was a scare, but it's great to have you back and doing your job, because you're an important member of the media.
Thank you, and thanks for the good thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely.
My way. It was a wake-up call.
Yeah.
So changing a few things in my life, and... so far, so good.
Knock good. Good. Well, we want to keep you around because we really appreciate your good work. So take care of yourself.
I plan to. I do have a couple questions real quick. On the last item, where did this happen? Did you have a location?
Williams County.
Williams County, okay.
Yep.
And the New Star, do you know how many tanks is that going to be in that tank farm, did they say?
Patrick, do you have that information right on hand?
Four, but...
No.
Oh.
I can double-check in the application, Dave.
Sure.
It's, yeah.
And you said refined products, so it's gasoline or diesel?
It is, yep.
Gasoline?
Okay. Yep. It's an important, this project was, when we had the hearing, now it was more than a year ago, so I'm a little rusty on the exact benefits of the project, but by adding this line and the storage in this area, they were going to be able to keep more gasoline in the Jamestown area that's currently being pushed through the system and needed for eastern Minnesota. And so this will allow them to better serve the valley and eastern Minnesota and allow more of the gas products to stay in the Jamestown area where they know there's more demand.
Commissioner Christman, the Atlantic Farm Services, Moncton, New Brunswick, 500,000 bushels of corn. Did they mention, is this going to be for ethanol, or is this going to be for feed, or is it going to be something else? Do you know?
I did not question what they use it for. So I don't know. I don't know if staff got into that at all or not, but I'm unsure.
Do you know how much is just field corn that we raise in North Dakota offhand, or you're not the Agriculture Commissioner?
No, I don't. I think I can dig into some of that though, because we did some statistics earlier on our
storage.
Grain storage and purchases volume handled in general, and I think when we did that it was laid out by commodities, at least the big ones like that. 500,000 is not going to dramatically change the market across the state, but if you're just one, and they will be buying from existing facilities. That's their business model. So if you're one of those licensees up there that is buying from the ag producers and looking for a place to go, and this gives you a better price, it allows you to provide a better price for the producers in the area. So in a specific area, it may make a noticeable difference.
And anything can help, given the current state of the ag economy.
That's right. We need to get this stuff moved.
So have you heard from the governor about when you're going to get a new colleague?
Well, I've been in pretty regular touch with them, and I know Randy is hearing all kinds of things out there, too. I know they're doing interviews this week, and I also am told that they're still open to more applicants. So a timeline is not certain at this point, but I know they're working on it and working hard to get the best possible candidates out there and the best possible ultimate appointee.
Have you found, I assume that your workload, the two of you, has increased because you're one down?
Yep. It's especially hard, I think, with the session right now, just because there's so much going on with the budget. So Randy really has handled almost all of that. And then there's just more things to say, bases to cover. But
there's certainly been plenty to go around, but I will say it hasn't all fallen on the two of us. It just seems like it's noticeable that the team around here has picked up the pace additional too and tried to help wherever they can and be thoughtful to the fact that we each ended up with some new portfolios.
Well, and it happens to be at the time where we also are 3 to 4 staff people fewer. Actually, we're 4 staff people down from where we were a year ago, plus a commissioner. So, everyone is picking up the slack.
Any thoughts or hopes what you might see in the March revenue forecast or any inkling?
Well, hopes. I hope it's better, but I don't have any inside knowledge on it. Certainly, the numbers that came from Lynn Helms' office yesterday that, the December oil production was dramatically down. That is a bit discouraging, but not surprising. We all knew that last little better than a week was horrendous weather, and, I mean, it was just obvious that was going to be down significantly. And the fact is it's unlikely to pick up during the course of the winter months. But his description yesterday that I heard reported seemed somewhat optimistic for significantly more completions in the fairly near horizon. And so, you know, that should play into that March revenue forecast. So, you know, a little bit of bad, a little bit of good in Lynn's reports yesterday. And so I guess bottom line is we're going to have to wait and see what they come up with in March.
I suspect that regardless of what the March forecast is, the legislature will prepare for the worst. And so even if the March forecast is more optimistic, I don't envision them coming back and adding a lot to the budgets. I think they're going to try to get by this session with as tight a budget as possible in terms of spending and hold agencies spending down. So I don't expect, even if the budget comes back more favorable, the revenue forecast, I don't think that there'll be a lot of appetite for adding money back into agency budgets. So we will have a proactive plan and work hard to be positive about it.
That's right.
I do have to say, I texted Brian at the beginning of the meeting saying we missed him because this is our first meeting without him. And he said, missing the old team, but I have a meeting with NASA coming up. Hashtag Calc to space.
Okay.
So there's no dust settling on him. Dust, I mean. No dust settling on him.
Okay, we'll come back to order then for some announcements. On Monday the 27th, we'll have a formal hearing here in the hearing room. That's actually two cases regarding wind farm decommissioning as well as wind farm operations. One rulemaking is on the lighting systems. I can't remember the terminology, but the lighting systems where the lights do not have to flash all night, only when an aircraft would come by. The second one is on wind farm decommissioning rules. And so, again, that will be at 8:30 on Monday, February 27th. And then a month later, on March 27th, we'll have a formal hearing in Watford City on 8-inch crude pipeline project. It's entirely in McKenzie County. That will be at Teddy's Residential Suites at 9 a.m. And then on April 10th through the 13th, starting at 8:30 each day until we're complete, we have case PU-16-666, which is MDU's electric rate increase. Anything else for announcements that I've missed? Anything else for the good of the order? If not, we'll reconvene in 10 minutes for the admin portion of the meeting, and we are adjourned.